नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 6 एंटाइटल्ड द किलिंग ऑफ द पूतना डीमन टेक्स्ट नंबर 30 श्री शुका उवाच इति प्रणया बद्धाभिर् गोपीभिः कृतरक्षणम् पाययित्वा स्तनं माता सन्निवेशयदात्मजम् ट्रांसलेशन श्रील शुकदेव गोस्वामी कंटिन्यूड All the gopis, headed by Mother Yashoda, were bound by material affection. After they thus chanted mantras to protect the child, Mother Yashoda gave the child the nipple of her breast to suck and then got him to lie down on his bed. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. When a baby drinks milk from the breast of his mother, this is a good sign of health. So the elderly gopis were not satisfied with chanting mantras to give protection to Krishna. They also tested whether their child's health was in order. When the child sucked the breast, this confirmed that he was healthy. And when the gopis are fully satisfied, they had the child lie down on his bed. Hey Krishna. So today, we are hearing from Shukdev Maharaj that how the residents of Vrindavan, especially the cowherd women, the gopis, they not only were taking shelter of the cows and the holy names of Lord Vishnu to protect the child. But they were also anxious to confirm that the child is in a healthy condition. And both Srila Prabhupada and Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they mention in their purport to this verse, verse number 30, that the nature of the love of Vrindavan is that the relationship with Krishna is very direct. And this relationship is exhibited in the form of direct service. Something has to be practically offered. And since the residents of the spiritual world are endowed with spiritual attributes, especially their existence is entirely spirit, nonetheless, there is form. So they use that form, they use their existence to directly and perceivably, which is perceivable to them, to serve Krishna. Hence it was very important for the gopis to see that Krishna responds and reciprocates to their service or with their service. It's a two-way process. The devotee renders service and Krishna reciprocates. And therefore Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, they say that all the gopis encourage Mother Yashoda to feed the baby. And when the baby Krishna, child Krishna, accepted the milk from Mother Yashoda's body, satisfactorily, happily, you know, most probably the scene must be that Mother Yashoda must have fed the baby. and she must have turned him upside down in her lap and burped him. And when Krishna gave a burp, they said, yes, now it's perfect. Now you make him lie down. Now he can take some rest. So today, based on this purport, let me first, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he in his purport points out two things. And towards the end of today's presentation, we'll also present Srila Prabhupada's points, his realizations, which he gives in his summary study of the 10th canto of the Krishna book, same chapter, chapter 6. So we'll start off with Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's comments. The first comment that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur makes is about how important it is for the residents of Vrindavan to see that Krishna is really healthy. So they are not simply satisfied, may Lord Ajar do this and may Lord Govinda do that and so on and so forth. Now so many mantras, Lord Prishni Garbha protect you like this and Lord Narayan protect you like that and may Madhava protect you. Now some of the names being used are, may Lord Madhava protect you, may Lord Keshava protect you, may Lord Madhu protect you. And in fact, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says in verse number 26, may Lord Govinda protect you. So the point he's making is, who's Lord Govinda who's going to protect Krishna? Who's Lord Madhava who's going to protect Krishna? Aren't these already the name of Krishna? So he raises a point, he raises a question. He says, maybe they are asking the lords of the Vaikuntha planets, like the Vaikuntha deity of Madhava or the Vaikuntha deity of Govinda, for protection. You know, they are requesting those deities because all the Vaikuntha planets, they have their presiding deities. If we remember the photograph on the first canto, you know, the first about the material and the spiritual world, a wonderful depiction by the devotee artist. Then you find in the spiritual world there are spiritual planets, and below those planets there are names written. Varahadev's planet, Hayagriva's planet, Narsingadev's planet. So these are the vigraha forms, the expansions of the Lord in these planets. Lord Narayan. So Chakravarti Thakur says that here when the gopis are calling out to Lord Govinda, Lord Madhava, Lord Keshava, Lord Hari, so maybe they are calling out to the Vaikuntha deities. But then he raises the point that how is it possible for the Vaikuntha deities to protect their source? So they are actually taking shelter of Krishna directly. For the residents of Vrindavan, take shelter of Krishna, none other. In Paitha, Gram, in Braj, you know, the bigger parikrama of 40 kilometers of Govardhan, the circumambulation of Govardhan has Paitha Gram. That is a place where there is the deity of Krishna with four hands. So when the cowherd girls, Krishna suddenly disappeared from their midst, they went searching for him. Krishna was having his pastimes near Chandra Sarovar, right in this season. Oh, no, it was the Sharat season, when he was having a Chandra Sarovar, his pastime, close to Govardhan. Suddenly Krishna disappears. So they went out, they'll go out searching for Krishna into the forest. At one place, Krishna manifests himself with four hands, sits there with his right leg, you know, folded at the knee and put over the left knee. In a very royal pose, like that. And all the cowherd girls come, they see Lord Narayan, they offer him obeisance and say, my dear Lord Narayan, do you know where is Krishna? So they offer obeisance and respects to Vaikuntha deities, to Lord Narayan, but their shelter is only Krishna. So then Krishna Chakri Thakur asks the question, but we know that Govinda, the name was given to Krishna when he was almost 5 years old. At Govinda Kund, this name was given to Krishna by none other than Mother Surabhi. She says, this Indra, who is ruling over the heavenly planets, he is very good. He is very powerful. He is very kind too. But as far as we cows are concerned, our real king is you. You are our Indra. And that is where Krishna got the name Indra of the cows or Govinda. Because Surabhi anointed Krishna, Mother Surabhi anointed Krishna with that name, with that title. So here is Krishna hardly, you know, when Putana came, it was, the acharyas pointed out, it was the Shashti festival, the sixth day. There is a festival after birth. The sixth day there is a special festival where everyone comes and blesses his child and to protect it from all those names that Prabhupada mentioned in the Krishna book. And here Shukdev Goswami mentions Bhutas, Pretas, Pishachas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Vinakas, Kotara, Revati, Jyeshtha, Putana, Matraka. Prabhupada mentions Unmadas in Krishna book too. What a challenge, isn't it? And we are so much into only whether we are Maharashtrian or Gujaratis or Tamils or Telugus. What about all this Kotara, Revati, Jyeshtha? So many designations. And Putana herself, Putana is a race of demonesses, of which Putana with a capital P, this is from the Putana race. She is also called Putana. She comes and Krishna has killed her. So he is hardly 6 days old. Right now they are still thinking. Namkaran hasn't taken place. They are still calling him Lala, Nandalala, Jashoda Lala, like that. The son of Jashoda, the son of Nanda. So how is it that the eternal name of Krishna is being revealed right now when he is 6 years old? And Vishnu Chakri Thakur says, because just as Krishna, Krishna's name is also eternal. It is revealed to our eyes, to our senses, to the history of this material world at a particular time in different kalpas. So when we go to Govinda Kund, when we say this is where Krishna got his name, eternal name of Govinda, we should understand that eternal has, it, that is the major factor in our statement and not the time of 5 years. Yes, otherwise the idea creeps in that we know. The idea creeps in and that, see, I'm telling you, we know this is the place where Krishna got his name as Govinda. But it is his eternal name being revealed, and when we understand that concept, that this is Krishna's eternal name being revealed, then we feel grateful. There's a revelation. We are humbled that the great Krishna has revealed to us something. In one of his lectures, Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj was mentioning that what is gratitude? You know, we speak so much about gratitude, feeling grateful. So how grateful can we be in front of Krishna's gratitude towards us? And he mentions, makes a point that when we are trying to serve Krishna, we are using this body and this mind which we ourselves do not have faith in. I mean, the body and the mind are such useless instruments in one sense. Although the Bhagavatam does say that it is a useful boat and properly used, but in one sense it is so limited. And we come in front of the Lord and with our body, minds and our words, which has limited vocabulary and expression. We serve Krishna and Krishna accepts it. And in return he gives in prasad. Prasade sarva dukkha naam hanihi. Gives mercy. Because When does one reciprocate, give something, when one feels happy with one what one has received? So Krishna becomes happy receiving our offering of our body, our mind and our senses and our speech. So compared to Krishna's gratitude, he is such a great man, such a great personality. What is our gratitude? So even when we are feeling grateful, we must try and compare that what is our gratefulness towards Krishna compared to Krishna's reciprocation in his gratitude towards us. We become humbled. So there is a revelation, and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur makes a point that when you are at Govardhan and you are circumambulating Govardhan, you say Krishna performed the Govardhan Leela here. But sometimes devotees do not use a past tense. They say Krishna is performing the Govardhan Leela here. And then they make a very mystical, you know, comment. And if we have the eyes, then we can see and participate in it. Very mystical. So he says, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, the lifter of Govardhan and the pastime of Govardhan being lifted. You know, just imagine, we are walking around Govardhan, we see it firmly on the ground, at least externally, and suddenly we get the eyes and the vision and Krishna is lifting it up. Now what a confusion here. Is it down or is it up? Because we are seeing it down and suddenly the vision is revealed to us and we see it being lifted up on Krishna's little finger like that. No wonder our controversies are easily resolved in the absolute truth. So the Govardhan lifter and the Govardhan lifting are all eternal. They are revealed in various ways to us at various points of time in this material realm. So when they are saying, may Lord Govinda protect you, may Lord Keshav protect you, it's a very deep philosophical point that this young child is eternal as his name is eternal and only he himself can protect himself. Srila Prabhupada, I have to make his comment right now. He says, all the residents of Vrindavan, they were chanting mantras to protect the child, although there was no longer any need to protect the child. Was there any need? The need was when Putana was actually feeding him. That is when everyone should have come with their astras and mantras and said, hey, Putana, stop! Leave the child alone. Already Putana is dead. Krishna has finished the task. So now they are saying, protect the child, protect the child, protect the child, this protect the child, that protect the child. So Prabhupada makes the point, although there was no need, and both Chakravarti Thakur and Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada make the point. Why? Because pranaya baddhabhi. The nature of the love of Vrindavan is that the residents of Vrindavan are bound by that love to Krishna. In the earlier cantos, there is a verse spoken by Shukdev Goswami about binding, prasanga. He says, prasangam ajaram pasham atmana kavayo viduhu sa eva sadhu shukrito mokshadwaram apavritam. Bondage is there in this material world, and this bondage is because of the attraction to the objects of the senses for sense enjoyment. And what is this bondage? Ajar, that which never becomes old. Certain things in this material world are eternal, and one of the eternal things, that the material world itself is eternal, manifest and unmanifest. But there is this eternal binding or bonds in the material world that is known as ajarapash, that never ever becomes old or deteriorates. However, if we take that attraction that we have to the sense objects and divert it to saintly people in their service, then that same binding, the bondage that is there, we become bound to their service. We do not say, all right, today I think I'm going to serve. When we think, then we have independence in that sense. But when we use our independence to become eternally bound to the service of saintly people, sa eva sadhu shukrito, now that bondage takes us out of the material world, and because we have moksha dwaram apavritam, and because we have gone out of the material world, Hence, this ajarapasha or this eternal bonding, this material world no longer affects us. It remains behind. That binding doesn't break. The attraction of the sense to the sense objects is always the quality of the material world. We simply move out of the picture. And how do we move out of the picture? By being bound. So now this binding remains here. We are bound to the lotus feet of the service of the great devotees. We go to the across the material world. Moksha dwaram apavritam. Now what happens? Here, Pranaya Baddhibhi speaks of another bondage, the higher bondage. One is prasanga baddha, the other is seva sadhu shukrito, sadhu seva baddha, and there is another known as pranaya baddha, or bondage in affection to Krishna, or affectionately bound to Krishna. And it is this bondage that makes the residents of Vrindavan turn to Mother Yashoda and says, now this is enough. Enough formality is done. This mantra, that brahmana comes. Everyone has given blessings. Now let us get to the real thing. Feed the baby. Practically do some service so that Krishna can reciprocate. So although there was no need to protect Krishna, the residents of Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the Krishna book, have firm conviction, Mother Yashoda has firm conviction in the Vedic injunctions that cows and the holy name of Lord Vishnu offer protection. So she immediately gets cow, swishes the tail of the cow around the child and chants mantras. But the pranaya bandhan, that pranaya baddha nature, that nature of being bound by affection, makes them want to do something more. And that is direct service, offering something that they have. Now may this God, may that Lord protect you. They are dependent on a third party. But there is firm conviction. Prabhupada says, firm conviction Mother Yashoda has, that nothing else, cows and Lord Vishnu's holy names, this is all, should be used to protect the child. But what about the direct reciprocation? So that is arisen, that arises out of pranaya bandhan or loving bondage. The bondage of affection to Krishna. And this is a bondage that we would all like to be in. Rather than prasanga baddha, you know, being bound by affection of this material world, being bound in affection to Krishna. And that pranaya baddha is possible when we become attached to the lotus feet of sadhus or devotees. Okay? So, we see that the residents of Vrindavan are offering prayers. You know, they are prayerfully invoking the Lord through the mantras. This process of offering prayers for protection also is one of the categories of what is technically called as Vandanam. And Vandanam is a very important aspect of devotional service. Vandanam basically means glorifying the Lord. It means that. Glorification also means seeking shelter and protection of the Lord. Not that, my dear Lord, you are so great, this, that, okay, I've glorified you, now I'm going. I'm separately going my own way. So an important aspect of Vandanam is also seeking shelter and protection. And we see this is how the residents of Vrindavan are seeking protection for Krishna through prayers. So in Vandanam, today I want to cover one aspect of Vandanam through certain examples. The connection between prayers and prasad. Because Krishna is being fed milk. So feeding means eating or prasad. So connection between prayers and prasad. So we know that in the Krishna consciousness movement or any Vaishnava tradition, before honoring prasad, and many times Prabhupada makes a point, we don't eat, we honor. So before honoring prasad, we first eulogize or we glorify that activity and the the object of that activity. So we chant the prasadam prayers. There are so many prayers that glorify the act of honoring prasad and the mercy of Krishna in the form of prasad. We do this, the Mahaprasade prayers or the Sharira Vidyajal prayers, you know, typical ISKCON notations like that. So, I'll try to develop this point through a couple of examples. In the Anti Leela, Kaviraj Goswami, in the Chaitanya Charitamrit, he describes a particular incident. He says, and this is a conversation, Govinda kahe utho asi karah bhojan, Haridas kahe aji karinu langhan, Sankhya kirtan pure nahi kemate khaiba, Mahaprasade ani ache kemate upekshiba. So, the personal servant of Lord Chaitanya who has been ordered by him to every day bring Jagannath's prasad to Haridas Thakur has come with prasad to Haridas Thakur one day, and he finds Haridas Thakur in a very weak condition, lying on his back and trying to chant the holy names. So he says, Utho Asi, please get up and honor prasad. So honoring prasad means generally unless until one is really invalid because of certain conditions, you have to get up. Sit and honor prasad. This is so against the tradition in which we grew up in the modern civilization. You know, however you are, whether you are jumping, whether you are swimming, whether you are sleeping, whether you are chatting, in any condition of life, simply eat. So he says, Utho Asi, please get up, Korala Bhojan, please take prasad, please honor prasad. Haridasa kahe, Aji Ami Karimu Langhan. Today I'm going to fast. Very interesting. Doesn't Govinda know that today is a fasting day? Today is either the appearance, disappearance of some day? Because these are great personalities, right? So he says, today I'm going to fast. So Govinda is wondering, what is the occasion? So Haridas Thakur, in a very, very somber mood, and in a very humble mood, in a mood of repentance, he says, Sankhya kirtana pure nahi, because I have not finished my fixed a number of rounds to be chanted per day. I have not finished my quota today. Therefore, how can I eat? So that is the occasion. So this is another occasion when we can fast, you know, willingly. Sankhya purvak kirtana nahi, when we have not finished us, you know, prescribed number of chanting, rounds of chanting. But then there is a, as you say, dharma sankat. There is a situation here. And the situation is, mahaprasade ani ach. You have specifically brought mahaprasad and you have specifically come on the orders of one, Jagannath has sent mahaprasad. Secondly, Lord Chaitanya has ordered. Thirdly, you are a great devotee who has come, personal servant of Lord Chaitanya. And most important of all, it is mahaprasad. I mean, so many important criteria here. You've got Mahaprasad for me. Ke Mateo, how dare I not accept it? How dare I not accept it? So, Ete Boli Mahaprasad Korila Bandhan. Now, this is important. So, he has a particular rule which he feels in a repentant mood is important. He even makes a statement. Now he sees that he's in a situation where the Lord's superior mercy has arrived. And when mercy comes, one must accept it. What to do? Does one simply justify, oh, Mahaprasad, all rules gone? You know, sometimes it is very easy to justify. Mahaprasad has come, so no more fasting. So first, what he did is, he offered his prayers to Mahaprasad. My dear sir, you are such a great personality. You have kindly come to the doorstep of this fallen sinful person. Please accept my heartful obeisances and respects. Yes? And I don't think so. Haridas Thakur was like, Mahaprasade Govinda Sharira Vidyajal. And okay, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He is sincerely offered his bandhan or his prayers. So honoring Prasad, as in the prayers given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, has the great benefit of controlling the voracious tongue. Now, Sharira Vidya Jal, this body itself is a, now the hometown, it is the complete mine of ignorance. And the king of this place called the body is the tongue. Taramadhya Jivha Ati Lobhamaya. It is like the king of all. It is the king of ignorance in the body of ignorance. So when we use the word voracious tongue, we have to understand what it means. And therefore, this bandhan, this prayer that has been given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes us repent a lot. It is in the mood of repentance. It begins with that. That, my dear Lord, I am repentant for so many years of being in ignorance. Even now this body is simply an indicator of my ignorance. The tongue is so voracious. You are so merciful. You have come to conquer our tongue. So that is why it is honoring Prasad. And that is what Thakur Haridas did. And then what did he do? Did he say, okay, now since Mahaprasad has come, I have properly honored it, so maybe some other day I'll fast? No. Eha rancha lena tara kurila bhakshan. He took a small bit of prasad, honored it, and then continued on with his fasting. So a rule is given up for a higher rule here, but still it is continued as far as possible to be followed. There was once a religious man, somehow or the other he was selling some very, very rare herbs in the market. He had gone into the Himalayas, gotten some rare herbs. We were recently in Chitrakoot with some boys who were here. We were on a parikrama. The boys were doing a parikrama of Kamatgiri Parvat, and they came up to a man who I regularly see at the same spot for so many years doing the parikrama, whenever I do parikrama there. That is his constant position. He always has constantly the same amount of something known as kandamool, a forest fruit. It's a root actually, a forest root. Very juicy and, juicy we can say. Sweetness is there also. It needs transcendental taste to understand the sweetness. Anyways, how did I get to this point? I forgot my line of thought. So, I'm sorry. So he told us that he goes specifically into the one particular forest, and the boys were convinced that one is at a place called as Hanumandhara, way up in the hills in Chitrakoot, in the forest right there. The other is in Nasik. In no other forest you get that kandamool. By the way, kandamool means forest product only. So a rare thing like that he got into the market to sell. So one lady came and he was selling her this a rare herb. She says, I'm very sorry, today I'm fasting. Nirjal. She says, doesn't matter, this is kandamool, you can take on fasting. She said, no, I'm fasting without eating or drinking anything. Why are you fasting today? Like, what is the real purpose of fasting today? You know what, even if you're fasting, you can take this and eat it tomorrow. She said, I also don't have money. He says, no problem, you take it and you pay me whenever you have money. By the way, why are you fasting today? He says, 6 months back there was Janmashtami. I did not fast on that day. So, I'm trying to fast today in remembrance of that. He said, he took back his product and said, I don't want to sell you this product. He said, why? If you take 6 months to repay back the debt to God, for such an important personality, what about me? I'm not so important. So lunch matra, eha ranchalana, a small part he took and then continued on with his fast. So this is the first example of prasad and bandhan. It's an important part of properly in the mood of repentance honoring prasad. Further on in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, actually we'll go prior to the Madhya Leela, we'll go, we come back from the Antya Leela to Madhya Leela. Lord Chaitanya has just reached Jagannath Puri. He has met Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya becomes attracted to Lord Chaitanya and he gives him certain orders. You don't go alone to Lord Jagannath. Take someone with you. I'll specifically send my own son-in-law or son, Chandan, Chandaneshwar with you. And I'll educate you in Vedanta. Lord Chaitanya accepted it. There was a wonderful dialogue between Gopinath Acharya and Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, both brothers-in-laws. Gopinath Acharya said, "You're a fool." He said, "Why am I a fool?" "Because you don't accept Lord Chaitanya." "Who accepts Lord Chaitanya as God?" And so there was some discussion. And conclusion was, unless and until you receive mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Gopinath Acharya told Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, you won't understand this fact. So they sat down for 7 days of discussion. Now, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya had again and again been told, you are an incarnation of Brihaspati. You are so educated that all the great sannyasis of this planetary system of earth specifically, they come and get educated by you. You are like the Brihaspati of all the educated people here. So when he started speaking, specifically the Atmaram verse, Lord Chaitanya, he first spoke in 7 ways and Lord Chaitanya then gave 64 different explanations. I think it is 18 or 64. 64, 18 was given to Sanatan Goswami later on. So 64, and he did not even touch the 7 ones. So now Sarvabhaum had 71 different explanations of Atmaram verse. When he thought 7 was way beyond, this is the category of Brihaspati's explanation. So when he understood, if I, Brihaspati, have spoken 7, this person has spoken 64, he definitely must be God. If I am incarnation of, then he must be like God, but there is no one like God except God. So he must be God. And he said, you are definitely Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he accepted shelter immediately. The next morning, now this was a long discussion after 7 days, you know, he's constantly speaking, and then finally, to top it all, Lord Chaitanya's explanation. Can you imagine the mental exhaustion of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya? And can you imagine how deeply he must have slept the 7th night? Therefore, the next morning, early morning, Lord Chaitanya went to take darshan of Jagannath. As he was getting up from his bed, Sarvabhaum wasn't there. He missed Mangal Arati that day. He was so exhausted. So Lord Chaitanya was given some garlands and Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath. He came to Sarvabhaum with that prasad and knocked. He said, Sarvabhaum. And Sarvabhaum was awakened from his deep sleep because the Lord is calling. You know, certain calls have to be answered. The call of God, no one can reject it. Sarvabhaum. He gets up and immediately from his mouth he chants, Krishna, Krishna. And my Lord Chaitanya hears Sarvabhaum chanting Krishna, Krishna. He says, so happy. Because 7 days, and prior to that a few days in Jagannath Puri, he had never heard Sarvabhaum chanting Krishna, Krishna so very affectionately and with such depth of heart. So he's very pleased. And then he gives him the Mahaprasad, the garland. He gives him. So he comes immediately and opens the door. Now Sarvabhaum is a very, very strict follower of the rituals of scriptures. Incarnation Brihaspati. Brihaspati incarnate himself. So there has to be certain protocol. Getting up, you know, then doing certain asanas to get back your consciousness, then offering prayers to Mother Earth, then putting your feet in the khadau, the wooden slippers, then offering obeisances to all the directions, then achman, then cleansing, then opening of door. Hence, Srila Prabhupada said, only a few regulations I have given you. Beyond that, you won't come out of the bathroom throughout the day. You won't be able to come out of the bathroom. So I have mentioned in short because this is according to my understanding. Now Sarvabhaum is much more ritualistic than me. He was. So when he gets to chanting Krishna Krishna and opens the door, Lord Chaitanya is amazed by the effect. You know, the change in Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya's life. He offers him the Mahagarland Prasad and gives him Mahaprasad to eat. Sarvabhaum immediately accepts the Prasad. And very interesting, he honors the prasad first. Let us say he eats the prasad. And then after that he says, from the Padma Purana starts quoting verses. Shushkam paryushatam vapi नीतं वा दूरदेशतः प्राप्ति मात्रेण भोक्तव्यं नात्र काल विचारणः न देश नियमस्तत्र न काल नियमस्तथा प्राप्तं अन्नं द्रुतं शिष्टैर् भोक्तव्यं हरिम् अब्रवीत्. The Padma Purana states that when Mahaprasad, whether it is dry, stale, whether it is, its appearance looks a little distorted, as soon as prapti matrena, as soon as one Mahaprasad touches one's hand, one must immediately bhoktavyam, one must immediately honor it. And there is no bindings of the rules of time or place or circumstance that can stop us from honoring Mahaprasad. It should not happen. Why? Because we are Shishta people. Shishta means we are cultured gentlemen and gentle ladies. Aren't we? We are cultured people. And cultured people, this is their behavior. The Padma Purana says, immediately honor. So as he honored that, Lord Gauranga embraced him. And when they embraced, immediately the symptoms of love started manifesting in Sarvabhauma's body, in his consciousness, and both started dancing in love of God. Just imagine, he's chanting kirtan and in love of God, and as of yet he's not followed any of the rituals that he was used to, which is so much against what he has been brought up to do. It's amazing. And Lord Chaitanya then claims, today my coming to this earth has been fulfilled because the dry heart of Sarvabhauma has been transformed with love of Krishna. It has become a wonderful place where Krishna is residing. So here we see that Mahaprasad is so important, and specifically when it comes unannounced, then it becomes very important for us to immediately honor. And how do we honor? Consume it completely. Shamanand Prabhu, our resident temple president, in 1990, he was with Radhanath Swami Maharaj in Vrindavan, I think 1990 or 91. He had just joined a year back, and this was a great opportunity to be with the wonderful sannyasi, and he was having the wonderful darshan of Braj. One day Maharaj was in his room and he sent Shamanand Prabhu to go to Radharaman temple. He said, today I'm fasting. For his health was also not very good, so today I'm fasting. So he goes to Radharaman temple, gets a nice darshan, the pujari, Padmanabh Goswami. Oh, Radhanath Swami has come. He gives him nice, the choicest of Radharaman's Mahaprasad. And Vrindavan Mahaprasad means specifically sweets. Braj means sweets. So full of so many choices, big, container, big box like that, dabba. He comes back and Shaman Prabhu was one day revealing to us, he says, and I was thinking, Maharaj is sick and generally doesn't eat much. Who's going to have all of this? This is just 1 year joining the ashram, and when you get like that, you know. And Krishna consciousness looks so attractive. Seems that we can eternally go on like this, serving the great souls. So carried that. And then he explained to Radhanath Swami Maharaj that this is Mahaprasad from Radhanaman temple, specifically given by Padmanabh Goswami, the Sevite Pujari. The temple embassy says, oh, really? Maharaj offered prayers very deeply. Took one small piece. Honored it. It took some time for it to melt in his mouth. And he was in deep meditation. Then he opened his eyes, took another piece. And Shravana Prabhu was thinking, okay, some will still remain. The entire box was emptied. So when it comes in this way, Mahaprasad must be honored completely with deep reverence and prayers. But here we see the Sarvabhaum honored and then offered prayers. And these prayers support why one can offer Mahaprasad even when one has not cleaned one's mouth, one has not taken the ritualistic bath and all those things. So an extraordinary circumstance we find, one is the regular circumstance, not regular, but actually extraordinary circumstance of Haridas Thakur teaching us. Then this is an, like that was a guhya, so this is a guhyatar explanation. So obviously there has to be a guhyatam explanation also. So the third example is from Prema Vivarta, written by Jagadanand Pandit, a follower of Lord Chaitanya and a close associate. Beautiful book in which 12th chapter he explains how one day Lord Chaitanya came from Gundicha and took residence or spent some time, actually took residence in the Jagannath Ballabha Gardens.
And he declared to all the devotees, today we are all going to fast, we are not going to eat or drink, we are not going to sleep, we are only going to chant the holy names incessantly. Now this wasn't a regular lecture where devotees go, Hari Bol! And once the lecture is over, they say, okay, this person is going to chant, we'll go about our business. All the devotees excited, they sat down and they started chanting the holy names. And none of them ate or drank or slept. Towards the later part of the morning, comes into the garden Gopinath Acharya and Sarvam Bhattacharya with all Jagannaths, specially chosen Jagannaths Mahaprasad of rice and vegetables and pita and panna and cakes and badas and all that. As soon as Mahaprasad comes, all the devotees offer their prayers and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also offers prayers and he induces the devotees to properly honor Mahaprasad through prayerful mood, and then he says, now let us go on chanting Hare Krishna. So today is Ekadashi and we are going to chant Hare Krishna without eating or drinking. So Mahaprasad was there. So in a very prayerful mood, after properly honoring Mahaprasad through only Bandana prayers, they went on chanting throughout the day till Dwadashi, then throughout the night also to Dwadashi, the next day, and parent timing, the devotees sought permission from Lord Chaitanya, went to take their bath, then came back and honored the Mahaprasad from the previous day. And then after everyone had taken Prasad, they asked Lord Chaitanya, there are so many injunctions in scriptures, Mahaprasad must be honored, but Ekadashi must also be properly performed. How does one resolve such situations? And Lord Chaitanya said, a long explanation but in short, he said, one rule may sometimes be given up for another rule according to the importance at that point of time. We were all chanting incessantly Hare Krishna, but when Mahaprasad came in, we specifically started offering prayers of Mahaprasad. And once that was done, then we prayerfully made Mahaprasad part of our entire Sankirtan process. Krishna in the form of Prasad has come, so then we started chanting for Krishna who had come in the form of Mahaprasad, for Krishna who has come in the form of the holy names. And throughout the day, we performed Ekadashi by chanting, and next day we accepted Mahaprasad. So, this is Guhya Taram. Slowly, we are going from lower to higher, and then another higher. There may be more higher understandings, but I'll stop here with the relationship between Bandana and Prasad. Yes? In short, we are quite late, but in 2 or 3 minutes, we'll just cover another topic very shortly about protection, because here they are offering protection, and specifically child protection. Srila Prabhupada in the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 8th chapter. He mentions the point of how the panchavarga of society, the five categories of people in society must be protected. The brahmanas, the cows, the women, children and old men. And he gives various reasons why each one of them must be protected. We'll not mention them now. We'll just mention about children what he said. The protection of children is very important because it gives human form of life its best chance to prepare the way of liberty from material bondage. So, we have instituted even within our society a specific, it has been authorized by the highest authorizing body of a society, the GBC, that we must have a CPC or a child protection committee and a child protection department, so much so that every temple must institute this. And protection, children's protection, Prabhupada says, is because it is the best chance in the human form of life that one gets. So it's so very important to give protection, specifically to children. Generally, they are not so capable of protecting themselves, but most importantly, they are very much in a vulnerable position to be exploited in various ways, either child abuse, child labor, whichever it may be. So protection of children is very important. It is a vast topic in itself, and we see here how the residents of Vrindavan are so much interested and so much oriented towards protection of Krishna, who is as a baby child, who is performing the pastime of a baby child. Now let us go deeper into protection. Protection has specifically in this couple of verses from 24 to 30, it shows there are two aspects of protection and two deep philosophical reasons or foundations are there for these two aspects of protection. One is the external or the bahiya concept of protection. That which is perceivable to our mind and senses in the present state. Like giving a protected place, giving a protected environment, giving protection for the body in terms of proper clothes, so on and so forth. And there is an antara protection or internal protection that is also there. Both of these have been offered by the residents of Braja here. Jiva Goswami in the commentary to the verse where he makes a comparison between eating and devotion. Remember food and devotion again? Bhakti Parishanu Bhava Viraktir. He says Bhakti, Paraishanu Bhava and Virakti, these three aspects of spiritual realization are comparable to the three aspects of or three realizations of the eating process. And what is that? Tushti, Pushti and Shuddh Apaya. So tushti means satisfaction, pushti means strength and or sustenance, and chut apaya means cessation, no more any troubles, peace, leading to peace. So it says, bhakti or devotion is comparable to tushti or satisfaction, because both of them give a sense of pleasure. When one is hungry, when one eats food, as soon as one eats food, one gets a sense of pleasure. Kitana achha lag raha hai. Ab achha lag raha hai. Now I feel nice. Similarly, when one engages in the process of devotional service, the first thing is one gets pleasure. Since the time I've come to Krishna consciousness, I feel so happy. When we start spending time in Krishna consciousness, then the dualities again come back. But we were so hungry for eternal pleasure, that when we come in contact with devotional service and start doing devotion, there is a sense of pleasure there. So there is tushti or satisfaction. You know? Remember the time how we took all those vratas? Jiyenge pran jaye par bhakti na jaye. Something like that. You know? We will die but we'll never give up devotional service in this lifetime. Like that. Because it's so attractive. It gives that satisfaction. Then after some time when we have, you know, when we have eaten, then the energy flows to the body. Depends on how fast the food is digested. One, when is really hungry, if one ingests something like fruit juice or something easily digestible, one immediately feels strength in the limbs. The mind starts functioning again. The body starts functioning again. One gets strength in the limbs. So that is called as sustenance. There is some nourishment. There is sustenance. Similarly, for sustenance in devotional service, there has to be some realization of para-ish, of Krishna. One has to have one's realizations. I am practicing Krishna consciousness because this is how Krishna has reciprocated with me today. He reciprocated with me yesterday. For the past 1 year, he has been reciprocating with me like this. Every day, you know, one is seeing the reciprocation. That realization has to be there. Then there is sustenance. So, devotional service gives sustenance too. And finally, there's chut apaya. Once one is full and one has got sufficient energy, what does one say? Bahut ho gaya. Thank you very much. I don't need any more. Why? Now I'm peaceful. There's no longer hunger troubling me. My tummy is full. Now I'm at peace. I'm at peace with my hungry existence. Similarly, virakti, being in a situation which is normally cause one to be agitated, one says, no, my heart is full with Krishna. And one is not agitated. So one is automatically detached. And then Jiva Goswami makes a very important point. He says, a serene point actually. He says, now when one eats and one is satisfied with chut apaya, one says, no more. I don't want any more eating. So when one begins eating, one is distracted from any other thing. Abhi kuch mat bolo mujhe, bas khane do. So one is automatically detached from all other things when one begins eating. I don't care for anything else. Right now I just want to eat. And when the stomach is full, then one becomes detached even from the process of eating. First one has become detached from everything else except eating. And when one has finished eating, that particular stage, before, you know, again the stomach becomes little, that one point of time, one is detached from everything external, from eating and eating itself. But Krishna consciousness is such a process that with virakti, this virakti is such that once one becomes detached from anything else other than Krishna, Krishna himself is so attractive, anandam buddhi vardhanam. One becomes more attached to Krishna. And one says, I want more of Krishna. I want more of Krishna. I want more of Krishna. Right? So, protection is of two types. Based on this, I mentioned this point. Protection is of two types. One is external. Like the gopikas here are externally saying, may this Lord protect you, may that Lord protect your body. And one is internal. There has to be something inside which can nourish the body. And Maa Yashoda is offering that in the form of her milk. So externally, may the situation protect you. And internally, you may have something that can sustain and protect you. Keep you going on. So similarly, every aspect of protection. We spoke about child protection. So in that particular, where Prabhupada explains the first canto, purport, 8th chapter. Very interesting, it says. Child protection, so child protection begins. So first he says child protection is so very important because human form of life gives an opportunity to attain liberty from material existence. So external protection is there. This is the external reason, a very important but still bahya reason. There is an internal reason also. And that he explains, he says. So child protection begins by garbhadan sanskar, the beginning of pure life. So internally, the sanskar or the purity that has been given right since conception, right since inception, is what protects one. The sanskar protects one internally, and philosophy later on, which one hears and develops one philosophical way of living based on that, protects one externally. So internally, sanskars are important, and externally, following the philosophical precepts are important. And that is also so very important in every aspect of sadhana, specifically our chanting. Externally, association of devotees, association with the procedures of Krishna consciousness, hearing and chanting, they all afford us protection of a consciousness in a, let us say, external way. Internally, the protection is afforded by introspection or smaranam. How am I really trying to serve Krishna? That introspection is done internally by a devotee. So both have to go hand in hand. Following all the procedures of devotional service and internally meditation. So internal meditation is based basically on how we have spent so much time away from Krishna. That is repentance. And external is based on now what we must do to remember Krishna constantly. And that is penance. First canto, one purport, Srila Prabhupada makes a point. Repentance and penance. There has to be tushti and there has to be pushti. However, Krishna consciousness goes beyond normal virakti. And the third point is, one has to have pranaya baddha. Or follow in the footsteps or get associated with devotees who have pranaya baddha. Become their anugas. Become their followers. Become attached to them. Because they have pranaya. Or they have attachment to Krishna. And that gives chut apaya or eternal peace. Not just satisfaction, not just nourishment, but we are looking for eternal peace. And eternal peace in Krishna consciousness means constantly ever increasing pleasure in service of Krishna in direct reciprocation. Yes? So there is a small prayer by Rupa Goswami in Stava Mala, which signifies this, and that is a conclusion. He says, there are various prayers. Chaitanya Charitamrita is a beautiful prayer, but we'll take one from Rupa Goswami's prayer. And Stava Mala, he makes this prayer. He says, Adharopya Pradham Aviveka Hatopyaham Tvatkarunya Pratikshoham Prasida Mai Madhava. Adharo api aparadham. My entire existence is based on the foundation of an offensive mentality. In fact, in the previous verse, he says, what is this offensive mentality? He says, I'm drowning in a very pitiable situation. My situation is very pitiable as I'm drowning in an ocean. And mantu grav. And I am burdened while drowning. I am burdened with a load of a huge boulder of mantu or offenses on me. This is my pitiable situation, he says. So, adharopya paradham. My existence is completely based on the foundation of offensive mentality. I mean, at a drop of a hat, I can be offensive. Even it does not take the hat to drop. Even when it is midair, I've done countless offenses. And aviveka hatoyam. And now they've told me not to do aparad. You know, not to be inattentive in a Krishna consciousness, which is the mother of all aparads. But aviveka hato. My intelligence or my discriminatory power has been disseminated, decapitated. It has been destroyed. How? By my offensive mentality. So I'm overburdened with offensive mentality and my intelligence has been lost. Tvat karunya pratikshosmi. I'm simply endeavoring, as Prabhupada says, with patience and intelligence. Pratikshosmi. I'm simply going on endeavoring in Krishna consciousness. Tvat karunya. Hoping against hope that you will be merciful unto me. Prasida mai madhava. O madhava. O husband of the goddess of fortune. Please rain fortune unto me. Prasida mai. Please become merciful unto me. And give me your merciful darshan. Or give me your mercy. Reciprocate with me, please. Otherwise, there is no hope. So, chatapaya or virakti means constantly endeavoring with patience and intelligence for Krishna's mercy to come. It is not just waiting without doing anything. So all our endeavor in Krishna consciousness is for tushti, for pushti, but ultimately for receiving Krishna's mercy. And that protection is externally by so many things that we accept in Krishna consciousness and which are favorable for Krishna consciousness, internally by meditation, introspection. As is here, the residents of Vrindavan are doing the same thing. Maa Yashoda is feeding Krishna her milk. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry for being so late. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.